Okay, well, welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. We are here to talk about episode 10 of Survivor, which I thought was really fun, and I'm very excited to be joined by this guy. I was hoping he was going to be on the cast, but we'll talk about it. It's Ghost Island runner-up, Dominic Abate. Dominic, how are you?
What's going on? Yeah, we were just saying how, like, we chose this episode, like, weeks ago. To recap, and I think we hit Lotto with it. It was like the greatest episode ever. So
it's got to be up there, right?
Not even like from a Survivor aspect, yes. Just like, you know, wow factor. You know what I mean?
Just for good sure. TV, like
good TV. Again, yeah,
we're being results oriented a little bit, probably, but
probably
we'll take it.
Yeah, for sure, I agree.
But Dom, how are you? Like, are you enjoying the season so far overall?
I am enjoying the season. I had stepped away from Survivor for a bit after the casting for 50 went down like last year, you know, a while back. And then like they dragged me through the mud. Not just me, a lot of people. I don't know. I just... once they gave me the no at the last second, I just was like, all right, you know what? I could finally unplug for a while, only because I was, I don't know, you know, you always have in the back of your head, like, oh, I'm going back one day. Again, not just me, a lot of players, a lot of great people. So for me, I just was like, all right, they said no. All right, you know what? I can like... go off the Survivor reservation finally. Yeah. It just felt like I didn't have to be in the loop. In other words, if you think there's a chance you may one day go back, you don't want to kind of, you want to make sure you don't miss any of the latest up and coming moves or whatevers. So for me, I just was like, I was still pretty locked in, and it almost felt like a relief. Don't get me wrong. Totally disappointed I didn't make it on 50. Along with a lot of people. But at the same time, kind of like I was pulling the plug and deflating from that world for a little bit. So I actually didn't start watching 50 right away. I don't know. I was just like, all right, you're good. Let's go. How are you not going to involve yourself? These are all your friends out there.
Yep.
You got to tune in. And let me tell you something. I love this season. I honestly do. On it, not, you know, even not on it, whatever. I think this is one of the best seasons I've ever seen. I don't know why. I don't know. I just do. Am I crazy or?
No, I don't think you're being hyperbolic or anything. I mean, listen, maybe the game mechanics people don't love, these, you know, cameos and stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm here for entertainment and it's delivering, right?
I agree. I think they did choose 24 of
24.
I think they did a great job casting. I know a lot of people don't agree with that. I mean, sure, I have one or two. I will say, oh, what the hell were they doing out there or are still doing out there?
Should I ask you those people?
No, well, I ain't going to tell you.
Okay.
But I'm sure everyone has their own opinion. Like, why was this person picked? Blah, blah, blah. But besides, like, the one or two, I think the majority of the cast is fantastic. I'll even say that, like, at first I was surprised that Colby came back. And I was like, why him? Like, we've seen him, what, three times already? He kind of like, the last couple seasons, maybe. I don't know. There was something about him being on this season that just felt really nostalgic to me, you know, for someone who's been watching the show since the beginning. I think this was one of his best seasons, even though he didn't do well. Just the way he appreciated being there and mentoring new players. There was something about it that I just, I really appreciated. And I'm glad that, like, my mind changed about that. Does that make sense? Like, in the beginning, I was like, why him? And as, like, the show progressed, I was like, I got it now. Like, he belongs there. You know what I mean? I think I feel that way about a few people. But that one stood out to me, the Colby thing.
Yeah. It's very full circle. I agree. Yeah. When he first was on the cast, even when I went to and I interviewed him, I was like, I don't know what we're going to get here. Like, we've seen the same person. And he was different. Like, he was ready to go. He wasn't. And so I think people appreciated that. I think it came across on screen. And yeah, it felt very like full circle.
Yes. Like, you won't see him out there again. You know, that was his farewell tour.
Swan song.
Yeah. So I thought it was good, though. I thought it was good. Okay. I was thinking back to like Q being on the show, and I'm like, that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so long ago. Oh my God.
Like, when you start with 24 players, wow, and now we're down to what, the final 8 or 9 or 7? I don't even know. 8 are we down to? It just seems
after this,
like,
I think 9.
Yeah, okay. So it just seems like that was so long. Actually, but you know what? It kind of reminds me of when I did the Challenge USA. We started with like 28 people.
There are a lot.
And we remember that, like, going back to that house after a challenge and there only being like 8 of us left and being like, this big house is empty. Where is everybody? You know, it's such a weird feeling just seeing people go one at a time. And now you see the tribe just really like become more intimate. You know what I mean? It's less like people that was one cool thing about starting the season with that many players. I think they did it well. They didn't do too many tribe swaps. They kind of like, they were trying to get a merge tribe as soon as possible. I don't know if it's because they didn't have enough production people out there to cover the multiple conversations that would probably go on if they had it divvied up over 3 tribes. But I think it's just, maybe logistically, it's just easier to keep everyone in one spot and then we could just kind of navigate as we go. But
so many relationships they wanted to, that we didn't even get to see, right? So, because they, you want people to interact.
I can't imagine how much good footage didn't air. You know what I mean? There's just so many things going on with all the relationships, like you said. And it probably has a, like, they could probably do a whole season just of bonus footage, you know?
For sure. They should be releasing secret scenes more.
They should. I mean, people are like itching for streaming. What? Just take the season and break it down, right? I don't know. Maybe it gives away something. Yeah.
Does it though? Like, or just extended episodes or something?
Extended
like
episodes.
Streaming, something.
Yeah. Because, why not?
It's like a no-brainer in my opinion, but maybe not.
Also, it gives people incentive to purchase the package.
Yeah.
Like, if
exactly.
you watch it on streaming, you get an extra 30 minutes of the show of blah, blah, blah. Yep. I guess that's what they kind of already do already with bonus footage. Anyway. They're doing fine.
So wait, Dom, who on the cast do you know the best? Is there someone you're close with or not really, or kind of acquaintances with?
I'm friends with Devins. I was friends with, I'm friends. Let's see who's left. I mean, I had interactions with almost all of them. Not Rizzo.
Right.
I've never spoken to him. Like, who's left? Who do we got? Aubrey, I've spoken to, a while back.
For sure.
A coach, even though he just was booted, I had rapport with.
Have you met Suri?
Suri, I've met. Yeah, I know all of them. Okay. I'd say, like, I'm really, like, super close with, like, Wendell, Kellen, people from my season. But, like, Devins, I could talk to him anytime, any day of the week. You know, I actually texted him last week and just told him that the fake idol move, I said, that was MVP, bro. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how icky. The same thing happened to me. So I know what he's going through. Like, he was trying to sell. He was trying to sell it. So it came off a bit aggressive. I did the same exact thing on my season with episode 6 with the fake idol. Like, it came off bad and aggressive. But sometimes, like, you get so hyped about, like, how do I sell this thing that you kind of oversell it and you overdo it. And, and it's like, and I felt like I knew exactly what he was trying to do. So that was, I thought
That's
it was a total MVP. Yeah. I'm telling you, this has happened before. Like, if you compare his move to what I did on the final 6 episode with mine, it's almost identical how energized we are trying to pitch that the fake idol is a real idol. We try to jam it down their throats. You know what I'm saying? So when I watched him doing it, I knew, I'm like, they're not liking this, but I know exactly why he's doing it because I've been there. You know what I mean? So that's something like you can go, but not you, but anyone could go back and analyze it. It's just one of those things. And like in his mind, it was the most brilliant thing. And in retrospect, it was like, go back and look at what an MVP move that was that he did. And how could you say it wasn't? But it came off a little icky, probably, just because he just was assertive in the way he delivered the message. It sucks. It is the way it is.
He's also on a tribe with like these honor integrity sort of things where it's weird. It seems like everyone is like not liking if you keep your idol secret. Like, oh, how dare you keep it secret?
And I'm like, we're on season 50. Right. Stop it. Like, what? What is going on? And then to, again, I don't know if we're ready to jump into this episode yet, but I mean, the Rick Devens continuation of just massive.
This was a great episode for you to be on because, this was Devens' episode.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying it. And like, if easily Devens is, I'm as close, I get his game. His game to me makes the most sense. He plays the way I would play. And I think like his game plan is it would be the same as mine. It's like, set yourself up for success. You know, try to get yourself in a situation where you're running, not running things, but you know what's going on.
Yep.
You have the proper alliance members. You're structurally intact. Your foundation is good. You're okay. You don't have to be in on every conversation. You are fundamentally playing a good game. But when circumstances take place and the wheels start to fall off and this one heard this and that one heard that, and now your back is against the wall, this part here is what determines a great Survivor player. And what that is just a certain level of creativity. You know what I mean? And Rick was thinking ahead. Rick knew his back would be against the wall at some point in this game. So what can I do? All right, let me plant a fake idol at Tribal now so that if I'm in a situation later, I have something to fall back on. That's three-dimensional Survivor.
Iconic.
Everyone else is just sitting there trying to pregame alliance and the nonsense. You forget about that. You've got to go in there and see the big picture, think moves ahead. How can I set myself up in the event that I'm in a situation? And then let's say you haven't set yourself up and you're in a situation. How can you get yourself out of a jam right now? Are you creative enough to do that? This episode had a lot of that, but it also had a few other things. Like Rick right now in this season, in this episode, like he knew he wasn't foundationally there anymore. He knew his everything's broken.
Yep.
He's got nothing to lose. What a perfect time for Mr. Beast to walk in and throw him a lifeline. And not a lifeline like a lifeline, but like a lifeline either way. Because even if it went wrong, like what a stud. What a stud move.
He thrives in the chaos. And I think that's a very a lot of players don't, right? They like the predictability. They're not the best at playing from the bottom. He's just always good. Like he could have easily taken what Jonathan and Stephanie had said, just, you know, okay, it's not me this week. I'm fine. I'm just going to go with them. No, he blew it up. He completely blew it up at Tribal. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this cemented his legacy in Survivor as like,
oh, his legacy is cemented. Yeah. Is he going to win this season? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's different question.
But yeah, he put himself out there as not only is Survivor going to continue to stay interested in him, but other show. In other words, he knew how to parlay an opportunity. You know what I mean? And I praise him for that. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be playing Survivor, but when you've got nothing left to lose and Mr. Beast shows up with an opportunity, you roll the dice. Sorry. That's just...
No. And right? Also, like he pointed out, 50-50 is better than the 1-in-6 chance with your shot in the dark.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
hell yeah.
It's a no-brainer for him at that point, right?
Absolutely. And you don't want to know something else. I would say even that, you know, so he won immunity in that episode, right? has an idol now as well, correct?
Yes. Yes.
But I also would imagine that he's won over some love from a lot of people because he just got the prize doubled, right?
For sure.
$2 million now. Thank you, Rick. You're cool,
Does
Rick.
He get something if he doesn't win?
Yeah, right. I mean,
someone needs to throw him some money.
Some bone, right? Yeah. But again, not things you can talk about on the island. I promise you that.
No,
much.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Sharon, that conversation could go on through every season, right?
I know.
You could go to a player and be like, if it wasn't for me, you'd have never got that million. Where's my dough, right? Look at Wendell and Laurel. Right?
Yes, fair.
Laurel gave the tie vote. Where's her cut? Maybe she got one. I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. Who the hell knows?
Maybe she got like a very nice dinner out of it or something. I don't know.
If she didn't get a cut, Wendell, bro, what are you doing? Laurel, I'd have given you a cut. I'm just throwing Wendell under the bus as usual. What I love to do. I think it just was a perfect opportunity for him to throw his hat in like that. And shame on anybody for not doing it. I mean, you could honestly say, right, if Rick had control of the game and was in a position of power where his alliance felt strong and his game felt strong, I don't see him doing that. He'd have been tempted to because he loves the chaos. But you don't do that. You don't wreck your game over it. I can't imagine. Right. That's why no one else really put their hand up. They all thought like they were in a good position. Why bother? But then again, it's like, but wait, is that true? Or is Rick just the type of guy to do something like that? You know, who knows? I guess one day we can ask him. Yeah, maybe both. Maybe both. I'd love to know. But, you know what I mean? Would Rick have done something like that if he was in a position of power? I like to think he wouldn't. I like to think that Rick is a smart enough player to know how to keep a game in control and intact, but the second like he lost the ability to do so, then start burning rice, start, you know, whatever. Yes. Right?
Yes.
I love that. I remember even like my interview for 50 with Jeff. He's like, so what's going on? What are we doing this season if you're on? I'm like, well, one thing I'm doing is never taking my foot off the gas pedal. I'm like, you could throw a pitch high and outside. I'm swinging at it. Like, let's go. I'm here to play. Yep. So that's why I feel like when I see Rick do these things, I'm like, oh God, I love it. I love it. He's my kind of player is all I'm saying. Yep. There are other people in the game doing very well, running a great game. I just, again, giving Rick a little bit of props here only for the level of creativity he's bringing. And making sure not to miss out on an opportunity when it's presented to him. That's the right thing to do, you know?
Absolutely. And they all know how dangerous he is, but they also, I think, appreciated. I mean, Ozzy was there praising him like, God, bro, like you're. So I think they enjoy the spectacle that is Rick Devens as well.
It's also become the spectacle, which is season 50 now. And they're a part of that too, right? So now they're like, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Rizzo's loving it. Rizzo thinks it's cinema. Oh, yeah.
It's absolute cinema. Yeah.
But wait, so Stephanie, though, like, I mean, she says in her exit press that Suri actually told her, no, you don't need to flip the coin. But Stephanie should have flipped this coin, right? Or fought to? Or what?
I mean, I don't, like, they presented that Rick, it's obvious to Rick that he's on the outs. They kind of confused us. I mean, not that you didn't know Stephanie was on the outs. You heard her name come up 100 times in the episode that she's getting booted. It just was less clear. I don't know, for me. So I don't know. I can't answer for her. But I guess if I would have had any doubt and unsure or uneasy, I guess that's like the equivalent of, I don't know. That's like tricky because if you don't flip it right, you're going home. In other words, is there a better than 50-50 shot I'm not getting voted out tonight? And that's the only thing you have to answer to yourself. Like, all right, yeah, maybe I'm getting voted out, but it's probably like 70-30. So if it's 70% chance I'm staying, I'm not going to flip a 50-50 coin.
Okay,
so in her mind, that's probably, you know what I mean? That's mathematically, yeah. That's how she broke it down. Like, if she thought it was a better than 50% chance of her getting booted, she's flipping the coin because you're going to go for the better odds. So that's how I would have broken it down, you know?
But once I did think she crumbled a little bit, once Devin started calling her out, then everyone started kind of turning on her. And I would have at that point been like, okay, especially, but listen, I got to give props to Suri. I mean, clearly she still weirdly trusted her toward the end a little bit. I don't know. We didn't see like those conversations, but she said in her exit press, at least again, not saying that's canon, but that Suri convinced her not to flip it. And I was like, at that point, I thought you guys already didn't trust each other. I don't know. I was confused.
Yeah. It was a very confusing episode when it came to the relationship aspect.
Yes.
But can we talk about Suri for a second? Because I've just gone, not that I've gone back, but every episode I watch her social game is just dumb. It's so good. She honestly has an ability to just know how to talk to people. And she knows how to talk to specific people in a certain way. She knows, like, that is gift number two in Survivor, if not number one, tied for number one. Creativity, knowing your audience, let's just call it that. Like, knowing how to navigate a conversation with a very specific person in your tribe. She's crushing that game. Every time you see her talking to somebody, the episode ends up resulting in what she suggested.
Exactly.
Even if she suggested it in the beginning of the episode, it ends up happening, and you're like, you know, that all derived from Suri planting the seed 2 days prior or whatever it may have been.
Yep.
I have not seen a mistake socially from Suri this entire season.
I mean, we've seen her play so many times, and I'm always impressed with her, but this has
season,
most impressive game.
This is her best social game. Yes, I agree. Not her best physical game, but her best social game for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. She knows how to tailor the message to whoever she's speaking to.
Yes.
And to watch it is so wild. Even the way that she physically reacts to things and tells other people how to react. And oh my God.
She can read people.
Yep.
But more than that, just really know how to deliver the message. I don't know. It's just so good. So well done. She's been at this a while.
Yeah. Right? I mean, listen, she's a pro. I would take her advice any day. If I was going on the show, I'm calling Suri. But was that Stephanie's biggest mistake this episode, do you think? Was it lying to Suri? Because it seemed like that was what triggered Suri. It was like, why is she lying to me so blatantly? And then I think that's what happened.
Remind me, but I think what happened was Stephanie went to her pitched something, and Suri said, I could see in her face she's like uncomfortable, she won't look me in the eye. I think that is what's gonna get Suri to turn on you. If like, she knows when you're genuine, she knows when you're not, and the second you're not genuine, you've lost her love, you've lost her trust. I think that's the type of player she is. And I'd be the same way with that. I'd like, the second I thought you were BSing me, I'd be like, this is over. This relationship has just ended, you know? And again, another gift of Suri's is that she can pick up on that immediately and know when she's being BSed. So she did that and said, this is the decision I'm going to make. And ultimately, look what happened. Stephanie went home. Suri strikes again. Right. It was might have been Rick's episode, but it was really Suri's episode. Right.
Yeah.
It's
funny though. It's funny. It's like Suri gets the assist, but like the plan all along was Suri's, right? Yeah. And we just had a lot of flashy stuff.
Yeah.
Which is super fun, which I would take any day.
No, but if you took all that out, that was Suri's episode. She gets the award for sure.
Yeah. I guess I get why Stephanie didn't want to say Ozzy's name, but someone else had said Ozzy's name. So at that point, you just say, hey, Ozzy's name's
out there. Wasn't it Jonathan that started the conversation?
Yes. And Joe went and told Suri, hey, they're throwing Ozzy's name. And then Stephanie goes to Suri and doesn't mention that plan. And she's like, I think that was the misstep. I will say that pre-tribal chaos was also amazing. Just the people switching and everyone.
My brain almost broke watching that part. I was like, wild. What is going on? Yeah. But it was good because you honestly went into tribal really having no idea what's going on there. Also, what was the thing about Aubrey? Like, why was her name out there? I don't remember seeing any particular reason why her name was thrown out there. Was it because of someone she was aligned with? Like, what was that about? I can't even remember.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking, like, is it also clear to everyone else that Aubrey's working with Jonathan and Stephanie, or no? I can't tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that also to the viewer seems not clear. Like, I'm having a hard time understanding Aubrey's real foundation.
She's getting a weird edit too. Like, this episode, she had a lot of moments, you know, which we'll talk about the auction and everything, but oh God, there's so much to talk about.
Oh yeah. I forgot about the auction. Yeah.
Oh, there's so much we got to go over, but yeah, like, we're getting snippets of Aubrey, but you're right. Like, her allegiances aren't super clear.
Oh, right. Gosh.
But they're also associating her with Devins, right? Cause they played on the same season. And so
I'm
interested to see next episode if it comes back to Aubrey or where Aubrey, because Ceri and Aubrey also had a relationship on Game Changers. Right. And I'm like, we haven't seen any of them kind of interacting.
Yeah.
So I think we're missing context with her, you know?
Yeah. I think I need more context on her game because she seems to be doing okay. And, but I just don't know how. Or is it just that there's other fish to fry? So she's kind of just like on the burner for now.
She might be. I think that's probably fair. I feel like obviously Devins has an idol now. Who knows what that man could do.
Oh, man. I can't wait for this next episode. I cannot wait.
It's going to be so fun. Yeah.
I'm serious. I haven't had this much fun watching a season in a long time. I don't know if it's because I know the people. I think it's a combination of knowing the players, but it really being stretched. Like, it's really being pushed this season. Mm. I know, like you said, a lot of gimmicks. I haven't really had any trouble with them. You know, someone said to me, or I heard somewhere, like the episode with Zach Brown episode. Yes. Like, why did he have to play two songs? Why couldn't he just play one?
It's like when you go to a concert and you're like, just play the hit, and he wants to play his new song too. And I'm like,
you should have left the new song out. Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. Well, you know what it is? Like, my wife is a huge Zach Brown fan. I am, you know, whatever. I'll endure, but she loves it so. That was like just another thing where she's looking at me like, you just couldn't get on the season. You just couldn't be there with him.
You would have been the D, like crying. Like, my wife loves you.
She's more pissed than me. And then this latest thing with the million turning into 2 million. She's like, really? You couldn't get on this season? I'm like, all right, enough.
Oh, my God. Well, but I do want to ask, the 2 million now, is this going to make people play differently? Or you think not really?
That's a good question. I don't, maybe. I mean, 1 million is still a nice big chunk of change. 2 million, I guess, I don't know. I guess something about 2 million is like, ooh, I could do.
Well, because after some taxes, real, you still have a million.
I could do some real damage with the 2 million. I mean, yes. I guess it changes. I guess it probably, if anything, might hurt the game a little bit. In other words,
playing
a little too safe now. Yeah,
that was my word.
Because they don't want to lose that. Yeah, I would actually say if anything, it hurts the season. But something tells me that it's not really going to happen.
As long as Devins is there, we're fine. Because he's not going to let it. I think he's still going to play loosey-goosey and however he plays, you know?
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah, he's not going to care about that. He's locked in with Mr. Beast now. He's going to have 2 million next year anyway, doing some new show.
His kid's going to be on the YouTube page. Yeah, listen.
Good for him.
Okay, let's talk about the auction, because that was actually a pretty big chunk of the episode. Am I wrong? They got a lot of items, a lot of food.
Right? I mean, I think that's like intended to do that. It's almost like when they see the contestants are starting to really get depleted, they're like, we got to come up with like a reason to feed them.
I mean, Rizzo looks rough. Poor guy, playing back to back.
Yeah. Wow. I'll still never get over that. You know, the people that have done that in the past. Whoo, nuts. But I do honestly believe that it's an excuse to feed them, because you'll be surprised. Even after just like 15 days of just like nutrient deficiency, you stand up too quick, you're going down, I promise. You know, and then you got to think about like, oh, we're about to run these people through an endurance challenge, and they'll probably do a little better if we put a little bit of food in their belly. So I think that's what happened this episode, right? They literally went from auction to challenge. And even though it wasn't very physical in nature, the challenge, it still required brain power, it required concentration, all balance. Things you're going to lose. Yeah, everything. Yep. You're going to need those things. And that's one way to do it, you know, make it fun with a little gimmick of the thing. But, you know, they put a little spin on it with the... what was it? The chaos aspect of it.
The branding could have been better there. I don't think he explained it perfectly well, but
yeah, because okay. I would have been terrified to touch anything. I'd have been like, no, not interested.
Did you have an auction your season? I'm trying to remember.
We didn't have an auction, but we did have a gross food eating event.
You did.
And those grubs, we had to eat those. Yeah.
How was that?
It was terrible. But I did it. Most of us did. I think Wendell was like, just couldn't do any of it. The first thing was like fish eyeballs, which is nothing. It's like, great.
Oh, no, that's not nothing.
Not for you? Especially, they're like this, and they have like cartilage in them. It's wild. But the grubs are gross, but doable, you know? And I think Aubrey's must have eaten them. No, the sea slug I heard terrible things about.
It looked like rubber. Like, he couldn't even chew it.
Yeah. And so Angela from my season, you know, this, you got to go back and watch this, okay? She takes it and just downs it. And Jeff Probst goes, wow! It was one of the greatest things you've ever... And then she had to do two of them, and the second one, she tried to do that a second time, and it got stuck right here. And it was horrifying.
Oh, my God.
It was a great moment. But for those people that actually try to chew and break it down, I've heard terrible things about the sea slug, that it's one of the most foul things you'll ever eat. Yeah.
And I mean, would you have done that just to give someone else food? I'd probably been like, sorry, not happening.
I mean, you know, I say no now, but when you're out there, you're like, come on, when the hell else
am I gonna do this? There's a camera on you. Everyone's like,
not even the camera. I'm telling you, Charles, not even the camera. It's like, you do the stupidest stuff when you're out there, because you say to yourself, when am I ever going to do something like this again? And then you go back, and whether it makes air or not, you're just like, I did that.
I do the full experience.
Yeah. Yep. I feel that way. I honestly, like, Survivor was like the more impactful show, the more substance. But even the challenge, when I did that, like, I remember moments just being like, I did that. That was badass. Like, I ran a final challenge in the mountains of Patagonia.
Yep.
I almost died of hypothermia, but hell yeah, it was awesome. So that's what you do. You go out there and if you're asking someone at their house, would you do this? Nah, that's disgusting. I'd never do that. But once you're out there, you're like, yeah, we're going to do it.
Okay. That's fair.
I guess it depends on the person, but that was how I was. You know what I mean? I'm not eating a grub in my backyard to show my son how to eat a grub. You know what I mean?
I'm practicing.
Yeah. But I'll do it on, you know, when you're in that environment, you're just like, let's go. We got to do it. They're not going to let me die, right? That's what you ask yourself. Are they going to let me die? They're not going to let me die. All right, let's eat it.
Oh, my God. I would probably do it, too, just because I had to say I tried.
100% you would. It's like the same thing that, like... if someone asked you, would you ever play Survivor? Like, what is your answer to that?
Well, it used to be no. And then when I went to Fiji, I was like, oh, maybe I could do this.
Well, that's what it is. Even like before you get out there, you're like questioning everything. You're lying in bed the night before you're supposed to leave to go to Fiji. And you're like, I'm going to die out there. I can't do this. I cannot do this, you know? And then you get there and you're like, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm doing this well, actually. Oh, and then once like you feel like you're doing it well, and you get a little confidence, not cocky, but a little confidence, yep. All of a sudden you're like, I'm made for this. I can do mm-hmm. this. And it's like, it's all like that cliche crap that Jeff talks about. You're doing it. I hate to say it, but some of it's true. Some of it's like, I am doing this, Jeff. You're right. And then do you come home and think you're a little bit more of a badass than you were before you left? 100%.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? You look at things differently now. You're like, oh, I did that, so I could do this, you know? So mm-hmm. I'd say that's that, especially for like someone that's not sure, like you said, oh, at first I said no, but when I went to Fiji, I kind of changed my mind. You absolutely would do it. And you'd
it's
love
like,
oh,
this, it. Can't say no.
Yeah, you can't say no. You'd love it.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Sorry. What back to the episode.
Yeah, back to the episode. But what would you bid on? Like, to me, some of this was like, I know you're starving and you've been in this situation, so you tell me, but like, I don't really care about a charcuterie board or like, what do you think of the blanket? I might have taken the blanket, to be honest.
Oh, no. Well, I get it because, see, the thing is, like, the first time you go out there, you're like, you send them some outfit choices and they have to approve them. So you're like, I don't care. I'll wear whatever you tell me. Just, I want to be on the show.
Just kept
so
me on
you
the
send
show.
Them some stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, if I got back on 50, I'd be like, no, no, no. This time I'm bringing a hoodie so that when I sleep at night, I'm not freezing to death. Because I froze to death every night. That's why I slept on floor next to the fire. Yeah, I froze every night. So I get why Cerise got the blanket or wants the blanket, because getting a good night's sleep on this in this game is just as important as getting a good meal, believe me. But as far as what I would have chosen, I would have just chosen a carb/protein heavy meal. So like a burger with fries, that's giving you a little of everything, you know, replenishing everything. I mean, you'll probably feel terrible for a little while. After.
Like Suri. That was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, that was so good.
Excuse me, Jeff.
Boot and rallying, right? How great is that?
I thought it was puke and rally. That's what we call it in Jersey. I don't know.
Well, no, boot and rally, I think, is originally that you puke in your boot.
Oh,
like it was
right.
a cowboy boot. Yeah. You
you're
puke
right.
in your boot.
Boot
I think
rally.
That's what it is. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like you're drinking, you take your boot off, you puke in your boot, and then you go back to drinking. Drink yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's where it's from. I could be wrong. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. That was fun though. I mean, I don't need to see people puking, but it was a good funny little
it's
moment.
Not as that was nothing compared. You watch an episode of The Challenge and watch them puking. That's real puking TV, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like those episodes.
Yeah, yeah I try. Yeah.
But Aubrey also got a big moment in the auction because she, what did she eat? Oh, she ate the grubs.
She ate the grubs.
For Rizzo,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was, again.
No, she didn't. She ate the grubs.
She put on a little show, Dom. She put on a little show. Is that something you just do because you're out there and you're hyped up? Or is it also like jury kind of like.
I think that she probably was just having a high energy moment. You know what I mean? And maybe in the, like, she's been on it 3 times already. And maybe she felt like in these moments of, like, I don't know what the word is, but maybe she just felt like she should create more, create character more. You know what I mean? Like, develop her persona some more just to show. And even what she said, she was like, yeah, I'll eat that. I'm a badass. I'll do anything. I was like, okay. She wants, at the very least, she wants her tribe to know what she's capable of, you know? I don't know that you want to do too much of that when you're down to individual immunity, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe not her tribe, maybe just the world.
Yeah. Listen, we got
maybe people, maybe she's gotten, maybe she's gotten commentary that she's like timid in the past. Like, cause she's, I get that. I've seen, like, you see a lot of Aubrey moments where she's kind of not necessarily down, but not super extrovert type, you know? And this was like her kind of coming out. And I thought it was like a different version for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about her specifically. You know, she's a runner-up as well. And we get a moment where she talks about losing to Michelle. And I remember during Ko Rong, I mean, people really wanted Aubrey to win. I know Michelle got a lot of shit for that season for winning.
Yeah.
It's interesting they showed us that flashback. But, like, if you were on 50, do you feel like your storyline would be, oh, here's the guy who lost by one vote? And well, are they setting us up for something? And, like, why, I guess... Do you relate to that at all?
I'll be honest with you. The way they show some of those clips made me think something's happening with her.
100%. They're showing us for a reason.
Right.
This is,
yeah.
I'm reading into the edit for sure.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was actually one of the things Aubrey and I spoke about after my season ended. I don't remember the conversation. I don't know who even started the conversation. She was like, oh, I feel your pain, buddy. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I don't feel, I don't think I feel as hurt as she did, though. Does that make sense? Like, in other words, I think Aubrey's like, you could tell, she's like, how did I not win that season? I don't feel that way. I feel that Wendell was just as deserving a winner as me. I feel like it could have went either way. And it that's exactly what it did. It went either way. You know what I mean? So I don't have any of that. I wouldn't make my season, like if I was on 50, it would never be like, I should have had that season. No, but it would be, man, what a nail biter.
Yep.
And yeah, who the hell wants to come out here more than me, the guy who lost in a tie? Because I've tasted victory, you know, closer than anybody. So yeah. That would be more my story. It's not, I don't feel that I should have won over Wendell. That's not a thing for me. No.
Okay.
I mean, people say it all the time. Like my family members will say it. I have a lot of fans will say it, but I was out there. I know the truth. I know how the game was played. And like I said, it was, I hate even saying it because Wendell may hear this. Because I love to stick it to him all the time. Be like, yo, he knows I was a better player. He knows it. Bryce knows it. All his friends know. His own family knows it. You know.
Someone clip this.
But I love it.
So funny.
We go at it all the time. It's so fun. I just have an appreciation for my season and what a good time it was. You know. Yeah.
Based on what I remember watching, it was because you guys were so closely aligned the whole season. Like, it was kind of a win-win in terms of me as like a fan. Like, okay, if Wendell wins, if not, like I'm happy either way. So
that's how I perceived it. Yeah. I think a lot of people felt that way too. I mean, obviously you have people who take sides, but you're not like devastated.
you know what I mean?
If the other person won, because I remember as my season progressed, like each episode, he'd have a good episode, then I'd have a good episode, then he'd have one. And that's what kind of left you like not knowing who's going to win this thing. It's like one of these two, we know that, but we don't know which one. And that's what it worked out so well. But like you said, you can't be disappointed in the winner, right? It was good either way. And it was a good fight. It was a good battle to the end. I thought it was fun. You know?
Oh, I mean, it was iconic when the votes came down and went, Laurel had to vote. I mean,
oh, geez.
History.
History.
We won't bring it up again. But
yeah, let's go back to this season 50.
Let's go back. Okay, so yeah, the auction was, you know, fun. It ran a little long. Mr. B showed up. I did think, again, Jeff, I know he has to do this to some extent. He kept trying to bring it back to Mr. Beast.
Oh, yeah.
It was like
too much?
A little too much for me.
A bit much?
A little like, he's the best thing ever. I'm just like, yeah, he's the biggest YouTuber. Like, just say it like that. I don't know. But listen, I give Mr. Beast credit because he didn't detract from the episode, really, you know?
Not at all.
Which was good.
He didn't take away, right, like I said, he didn't...
Take up 10 minutes of screen time.
Like, a lot less than Zach Brown, right? Like, it was
I think he tweeted that. He's like, I hope you guys don't hate my episode.
So, I get why. Thanks. You understand, though. I mean, Jeff's networking his show, right?
For sure. For sure.
Like, just picked up a million new viewers because Mr. Beast was on it. I mean, good for him. They know what they're doing, you know? And I like, it's so interesting, right? Keeping the lights on. And now I think all the networks are starting to realize how the interchangeable players can go from show to show now. It's almost like they're developing a celebrity status.
A talent pool, almost,
Yeah.
right? Like a,
Yeah.
I agree.
And like of reality players who used to be just regular people are now like this thing now, you know?
Yes. Like you might not, like, I don't want to encourage this, but a lot of people, some of the people don't have a job. They just go show to show to show
Oh,
and they
I
make good
know it.
money. And
Yeah. Yeah.
like, I think with the traders and other streamers coming in and doing these competition shows, it is creating. It's different. And I think at first, shows like Survivor, Big Brother, probably like, hey, we've been here 20 years, like, back off our people. But at this point, like I've said, I think you got to
No.
embrace it at the, you know what I mean? I think Jeff
Yeah.
has warmed up to
No,
it a little bit, probably.
you're right, because he was very
Anti in
butthurt,
the beginning.
if you left him
Butthurt.
for another show. That's the word I'm going with. And it's
That's
funny you
fair.
say that because I just had to turn something down because of my job. And I'm
Oh,
devastated
really?
about it. Yeah.
Does it film in September?
No.
Okay. We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
But yeah, no,
But
it's
anyway,
true.
yeah, but and it's just like the timing. I'm just super busy. I can't break off. And I don't want to get into it, but well, whatever. We don't have to talk about that. But some people don't have that worry. Oh, can I get off of work? Some people are just like, sure. Where do I go? What, you know? I wish I had that freedom, but
Yeah,
I
it's
don't, you
tough.
know. I got three kids. My top one's going to college in August. We got bills to pay. Let's go.
Damn, you could have used that 2 million.
I know this is what I'm talking about.
My God. Well, going
Yeah.
real quick, going back to the immunity challenge, I don't think there was anything to write home about here. I mean, I will say Tiffany is great at these challenges. She looks
Oh,
solid in
she's great.
everything. She's like a freaking statue. She can
Same thing,
move.
but all around good player, Tiffany, killing it. She
She,
was in a jam a while ago back. I feel
yes,
like she's kind of working her
recovered.
way out of that hole nicely, right? Yeah.
And she's like
She's doing
carving a
very
little
well.
spot in her like with Suri, it seems like, which is the right move.
Oh
Always
yeah.
the right move. Work with
Oh
Suri.
yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but yeah, she's right. Who else are we missing? I don't have anything
There's a
in front of
bunch of
me.
people. There's a bunch of people. So
Oh,
we
can
didn't
we
talk
talk about
about.
Rizzo? I want to talk about Rizzo
Yes.
because I honestly, because I was in my Survivor boycott not too long
Okay.
ago, I
You didn't
actually
watch
didn't watch
49.
49, right? So when I saw he was on, I'm like, what is this nonsense? Who's this kid who's on this show that
Who took my
I didn't get
spot?
on?
Come
Who's
on,
this
bro.
kid? Took my spot. Who is this guy? Yo, I love him. He's so good.
You? I want this perspective from
I
someone who
think
didn't
that
watch
he's
49.
for a guy as young as he is, I think he's got a great handle on the game. I think he has I don't know, he just even the comments he's made about other players, maybe things coach has done and the way he's like, "What are you doing? Like this is Survivor. You don't do that." I'm like, "Yeah, look at this. How is it that this kid is teaching coach who's played the game 900 times and is, you know, an older guy with life experience. How is it that Rizzo knows that but coach doesn't know that, you know?" It's just things like that I appreciate in a player, especially a young player who most of the time the young players have to go through it. And again, I don't know what Rizzo's season, what he went through. I'm going to go back and watch it only honestly because I appreciate how good of a player he seems to be. And I want to see how he crafted his game in 49. And then to see what he's been through and then to have literally just transitioned 2 weeks later to season 50. I want to know, like, I want to figure out now the mental toll that had on him because if he's this sharp after having gone through a really wild experience just weeks earlier, that makes it even more impressive. You know what I mean? To
I
me,
agree.
that so I'm definitely going to go back and watch 49 now that I'm done pouting, you know.
Okay. I don't want to, I'm not going to spoil you, but it
No,
was
don't
interesting.
spoil me.
Devin said something this episode about an idol, and Rizzo. And that's all I'll say, but it's interesting. So they definitely, I guess he told them exactly what happened on the season. We know that they obviously know Savannah
Right.
won and all
I heard
that,
some of that. Yep.
but like there was a comment that Devin's made this episode that I was like, oh, Rizzo really told him all that? But hey, look, great, great for Rizzo. But yeah, I think it's a
Oh,
good watch.
you're saying it was a bad move to tell him this.
No, I'm just surprised. Like Rizzo, all I'll say is Rizzo has an idol in 49, right. And he does some stuff with it. And I would think, yes, some shenanigans. And I would think, okay, going to 50, I don't mind them knowing I had an idol at some point, but like sharing all of that.
Right. I know what you're saying. Right. No, I remember that conversation. But, I remember saying the same thing. Like he's almost telling them how good he did and how
yes,
good
exactly.
of a player he was on 49. It's like, pump the brakes, buddy. What are you doing?
But right? I guess like he mentioned to me this actually, even in our preseason, like if he went in there and said, oh, I didn't really do anything. They're like, well, why are you on the season? Like you did something. Right. Yeah.
So you better just come clean.
Either.
Yeah.
So
don't give up too much, but say something. Something exactly. that's believable and not necessarily too scary, hopefully. Right.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay. Let's talk about there's a couple people. Joe, I feel like we didn't get much from him this episode other than Jeff going to Joe. Hey Joe, what do you think about the family? Like the letters,
yeah.
and, you know, stuff right. like that. Joe. This is what I'll say about Joe. Seems like a lovely man. I've met him a few times. Great guy. I find him frustrating as a player just because he's so indignant when people don't tell him every piece of information. And it's just like, Joe, you're here playing Survivor. You right. lost. Like, switch up your game. But what do you think? I don't know.
I know what you mean by the frustrations of watching him. Because, yeah, he does. He actually has like moments of Chris Noble from my season where like he's very stern and wants an answer. Like, yes. And it's like, I'll tell you if and when I'm ready to, buddy. You relax yourself.
Nailed it.
But Joe, I mean, I have to confess, I didn't watch his season either. Okay. I was in boycott season then also. So 48, 49, right? 48, 49, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they just watched his season.
Yeah, I watched 47. Rachel was my girl, good friend. Watched her. And then right after that, I think the whole casting thing started up. And then I started watching 48. And so, but I do remember the theme of Joe and one of the other players out there. Like there was like this father-daughter type relationship going yep. on out there, right? Okay. So I don't know what got him on 50. So I can't even say, oh, why is he back out there? I don't know how good he was on his season. Was like, what do you, oh, you can't answer that. I was going to say.
No, I mean, I
does it make
again,
sense
I don't
that he's out there?
You. I don't think it makes sense for three people from that season to be out there. And I love Kyle Camilla too, but it was too much, in my opinion.
Too much. I'm with
you. It was too much. And again, these I'm friendly with these people. It's nothing personal. It's more right. just like, I would have liked to see, because I think, well, one, Kyle just won. Right. But like a Camilla, I love Camilla, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, they would have had another shot. Like for sure they were going to get called again anyway, where someone right. like you, someone like a Jesse Lopez, someone like, I don't know, maybe this, you weren't going to get another shot. So like, that's also what bothered me about like so many recent people.
Right.
But again, it's results oriented because I'm very happy with the season. I'm enjoying it. So I don't want to, you know, complain too much, but that was
that's
my
how I feel.
Feedback.
Yeah. I kind of get that. I like everything you're saying. I agree. They could have spread the wealth a little more, and but like even you just mentioned Jesse, like Jesse should be out there. What is like, what is he not out there? And then certain other people are. I can't. But anyway,
I could see Jesse flipping the coin too. Jesse's like a
oh yeah, well he's a Mr. Beast guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That too.
But also. So as far as Joe goes, I don't know his history so much. As far as my perception of him this season, he just seems very honorable, very fatherly. I'm sure I'd get along with him in life. Great. But you're right. When it comes to the game Survivor, I have not seen anything that impressive out of him. He's good in challenges besides
that. He is good in challenges.
Yeah, but that's not what we're
here
for.
He's a bit of a number right now. He's like floating. I thought he
was...
close in with Stephanie and Jonathan, but then he ran back to Suri because you know Suri is good.
And no disrespect to him, because again, I don't know, but like right now my perception of him is like if I was on the jury or if I was had the ability to go to the end, I would almost bring him with me because
right.
he just doesn't appeal to anybody. Like A lot of that victory with the jury is likability. And I don't know, Joe, I don't know. I haven't seen that many moments where he's laughing, having a good time with anybody. It's just more very stern,
serious. Yeah. Tone.
Which That's is great. Point. Great character. My Siri just went off on my phone. Shut up. I don't know.
Listen,
I don't have much on him.
Good guy. It's fair. We didn't even get much from him in the episode. They didn't show much of him.
But we also didn't get the general take throughout the season with him. It is what it is.
That's fair. Also, you have, people, you got to look at who's on the jury. Like, the first person on the jury, do I see her writing Joe's name down for $1 million? No, I really don't. So
do you think that he's almost a non-factor in people's minds?
Maybe.
No. Because I don't know.
I don't know. There's not enough evidence in the edit.
You don't have enough evidence. And you really don't know if there is an actual control structure in the final nine. Like, in other words, if there is like a solid five and there's a pecking order, but we don't know about, right. You're saying to yourself, is there a final? Like, honestly, this last episode was so convoluted. You can't even determine that. Right? Like, you don't even know what the pieces look like going into the next step. I don't. Maybe you do because you're breaking it down better. But it just seems like so many bridges. Yeah, it's fluid. And that's what the game's supposed to be. But it just seems like so many shots were taken at people back and forth in this last episode that I'd be hard to figure out that there's any solid majority right now.
Not majority.
But factions, you're saying there's factions for sure.
I think Ceri, Rizzo, Ozzy are sort of definitely locked in. And I think they're in the middle. I think then you had Jonathan, Stephanie. Aubrey is seemingly with Jonathan. Then on the other side, you got Devins, Emily. I think I'm missing someone. I don't know where.
Yeah, but don't you think like Emily's trying to break off of Devins now at this point? Like, that's where you're going to start to see this. Like, I think
Emily's in trouble, right?
Oh, because yeah.
Devins has an idol. And if I were Ceri, okay, I just got out Split Stephanie. Votes. I'm swinging back.
Yeah,
get rid of Emily.
Yeah. So
that's.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So that, yeah, that's. Yeah, it's factions.
Let's talk about Emily because she was someone else we didn't really talk about. Whew, messy player. Emily.
Messy.
messy. She was also trying to get Ozzy out last vote. So I don't think he's going to forget that, right?
Definitely not. You don't forget.
Ozzy's not going to forget that. So that's why I'm like, I think Emily's still in trouble. So like, did this Devins move? She was probably really excited to see it, but I don't think it did. I don't think it helped her game. I think it hurt her game.
Yeah. And she was kind of like into the whole chaos aspect of it too. Like trying to ride Rick's coattails of the amount of fun he's having out there. And she's like, we don't belong out here. We're nuts. And it's like, you're just, I don't know. She's fun to watch, but she's all over the board.
She's not a player. I and Emily love you for my TV purposes.
Never aligning with you.
Can't work with her. No way.
Not only not work with a person like that, but that's the type of person you want out of the game because you never know when they'll bite you. You know, you don't know when they're going to, and I'm just trying to think of someone I can relate that to. I don't know, but like that's like a loose cannon. You don't want a loose cannon out there. That's like you want predictability. And when someone, you have an unpredictable player, you don't want that.
That's why Joe is still there because Joe is predictable. But then you have like an Emily. Emily, to me, if I were out there, is more dangerous, right? Because you don't know where she's going to go. So
definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could use these people's characteristics or personality about them, like that's what you could use against them, right? Like that's what you do with Joe. Like, coach, you're not going to break your honor, right? You're not going to do it. So sometimes you have the ability to do that. You can use those things against people. But with someone like Emily, I wouldn't be surprised if she flipped on Rick tomorrow. Like
that's
what
I mean.
Know? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
like fun TV.
Yeah, but what? It's fun, but it's frustrating also to me. Like as a player, I'm like, I want to see like the mastermind. game. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't want to see someone who's like, I don't know. I guess we'll go this way this time. Flop. Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. What about Jonathan? What are we doing with Jonathan out there?
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Do I think he's playing a better game this time around? Yes. Do I like to watch it? Not particularly.
He was probably coached by Boston Rob, right? Boston Rob's his buddy.
He told me that. He told me.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah.
Rob gave, or in the preseason, he said Rob gave him a few rules. One of them was always smile.
Let's hear these rules and see if he's broken any of them yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of them. One was definitely always smile because Rob told him no one wants to play with someone who's miserable. Like, people want to be around someone who's, which I think is
true.
Good advice.
True. Right.
Because Joe.
That's kind of like Joe, right? It's kind of like Joe.
Tough time out there. what else did he say? Like,
he's definitely had to have had like a long dinner with Rob before he left.
For
it was like,
sure,
bro, let's talk, right?
Yes. He's,
yeah, I guess he's playing a better game than his first game, but I don't know.
It's not fun to watch. Like, it's just kind of like,
why is he? Why is he out there?
I mean, even when he lied this episode to Stephanie. To me, he's not a very good liar. He's like Stephanie, pretty bad lie. Because I just didn't. That was like him trying to be strategic, and I'm like,
yeah. This is season 50.
I didn't like when he went after D. I didn't like when he went after D either.
That was a little weird, right? Yeah,
not my favorite.
Yeah.
So.
Jeff likes him. Jeff likes certain people. They may not make sense to you, but you want to know something? If you're that guy or girl that he likes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world doesn't get it. Because I have people that I think about that Jeff loves that I'm like, you got to tell me. It's like, I just happened to watch this episode of The Office.
Okay.
Oh, where,
I love The Office.
Where Michael Scott is with Holly and the new receptionist, Erin, is like, I don't get it. Like, why Holly? Like, what's so great about her? That's like the moment I have sometimes when Jeff has certain people on that he can't stop raving about. I'm like, I don't get it. What am I missing? Somebody tell me what I'm missing.
He's reading the Facebook comments, I guess, or whatever.
Apparently.
The Facebook audience, casual audience, I think they like the big guy and stuff.
Oh, no. Listen, aesthetically, Jonathan's your guy, right?
Right. Right.
Okay, I'm with you.
For some people.
But for some people, I suppose. Right. I don't know. This 50 just really, I just would have liked to have seen a mastermind season, I think is what I'm trying to say.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah.
28.
And that's why Cerie's running circles around him.
Yes, sorry. 28 chess players. That's what I wanted to see. You know what I mean?
Damn.
That's why, like you said, Cerie's running circles. Correct.
Yeah, let's, anything else? Oh, so the letters. Did you get letters or a family visit? Remind me. I think you got a family visit, right?
I got family visit, but I did get a letter after the game ended. So the letters were written for us, but we didn't get them during the season. But as you got eliminated, you got them. And then I remember, like, you know, I made it to the end or whatever. And that night I went back to Ponderosa. And then the next morning, I'm like, wait, you guys got letters? I'm like, where's mine? And they went and found mine. And I, like, read mine like alone out in the pier, and I just like a
bald
dead baby, just all the emotions of 39 days coming out of my soul. It was a big moment for me. It's kind of like it's kind of like a cleansing. You kind of like, it's just like jammed up so many like feelings and thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like a cleansing because of all the things that you pack away. I think Aubrey talked about this, right? Aubrey talked yep. about compartmentalizing all these things. And then like, oh, she actually mentioned it this episode, didn't she? As she was yes, reading yep. her letter. Oh, it's exactly yep. it. I'm not stealing this from her. That's exactly what it is. It's you packing in things to not get bummed out while you're out there, mm-hmm. right? Missing your kids, missing home. So every time the thought creeps in, nope, go back in the locker. I can't do that right now. And then, like I said, for us, when we got our letters afterwards, and I read mine the day after the game ended, I literally just opened the locker and all the emotion just floods out, you know, and it's just it really is like a cleansing ritual. It's whew. And I remember being like, all right, okay, let's get back to life now. But it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Yeah. It's a serious thing for sure.
Can I ask you logistically? Cause I was curious. Well, first of all, it looked like Ozzy had like 5 or 6 letters. Do they write them on that piece of paper? Do they email them? Like, I'm actually curious how they get.
I think they just ask the family to write letters and then mail them in. And whatever they write it on is what they write it on. Yeah, it's not like a specific thing or anything.
Got it. Okay. Because I was like, yeah, all right. Well, are you bummed that they're not doing the family visit anymore, seemingly? Is that done forever, you think?
It's probably done because it's only 26 days. You know, I
are you a truther, a 39-day truther?
I don't know. I'd say it's just a different game. A 26-day Survivor game is just a different game. It's just not the original style of play because you don't have a day or two of downtime to fix things that are broken, like relationship-wise in your tribe. You're not able to have your own downtime to decompress. Let's say after a bad tribal council went down, you don't have that time to think about it and say, what did I do wrong? How could I adjust my game now? It's almost like the next day you're just right back in the fire. I don't care what anyone says. It doesn't make the game better or worse. It's just a different game.
Exactly.
So, so if I went out there 26-day game, I don't know how I'd do because I appreciated the having that downtime, even though it got monotonous. You know, sometimes you're like, right, can we get on? Can we do something today? Sometimes you go 3 days with nothing and you're like, this is too long. Like, we need to do something.
Yeah.
But I'll still take that over every day having something only because you can't believe the repair you can do with some of that extra time. And I'm talking about with the tribe, with people who you may have hurt or insulted or whatever it is. That gives you a little bit of, it also gives them time to see the big picture, why it happened to them. It's just a different game. It's just different.
That's totally fair. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I'm just kind of like,
You know, I don't either. I play either version. It's just like a more fast paced game. You know what I mean? It's like speed chess versus regular chess. That's the only difference, you know, got to make quicker moves.
All right. Anything else from the episode we didn't talk about? I feel like it was just, I mean, I think the headline is Devin's.
Devin's beast. That was it. That was, and just to conclude, like I think I heard Sester Nino talking about this, that Survivor got away with one because what happens if he doesn't flip?
If they draw rocks and Suri goes home? What happens?
Oh my God. If that would happen, forget it.
We hate Mr. Beast.
Not I hate Mr. Beast. We hate Jeff Probst. Because that would be like the second time that she goes home, like illegitimately goes home, right?
Yep.
I would say it's true. I have no idea how they would have fixed that whole episode if that didn't happen at the end.
Yeah.
Almost got me thinking that the coin was rigged. But it can't be rigged because he chose heads or tails. Everyone thought that.
I did think that too. I was like, is it weighted or something? But
Because they have like
they can do that.
There's casino games that are rigged like this, okay? There's like craps dice that have magnets.
Right.
So that you roll and the table magnetizes so you roll a 7 and crap out and lose everything. Trust me, these things exist. And Mr. Beast could pull it off if he wanted to. But I'm going to say it was genuine. It looked like it happened authentically. So we say.
I think so. It would have been a bummer if there was like, okay, back to $1 million anyway.
You think Beast would have just been like, yeah, we'll I'm just going to give you $1 million anyway. Yeah, he definitely would have.
Something
but you wouldn't know it. There. You wouldn't. Here's what they'd do though. You wouldn't have found out till the end. By the way, Mr. Beast was so upset. He just wanted you to know you're getting $2 million, not $1 million.
Pulled a Sia or something later on. Yeah.
Sia. It would have been a Sia move for sure. Yeah. I think Mr. Beast needs to start pulling those Sia moves and just handing out extra money at the end every time.
We'll see if he's at the finale. John, do you think they're doing fire making? Do you think the fans voted on that or against it?
Oh, are we saying that the fans voted on it? Is that like a real thing?
Does Jeff want it or not?
Oh, stop. It's what Jeff wants. I think that it may depend on the circumstances. I think they'll determine that at a time and place where they feel like determining that. Yeah. Okay. Only because it's 50, so they can get away with not doing it, right? They could be like, oh, well, it's 50, so we're changing it up, right?
The fans didn't vote on that.
Yeah, the fans didn't vote for it. Like, oh, I wish they didn't vote for it my season. That would have been awesome. Because I'd be $1 million richer. But it's, yeah.
That's why I asked you, Dom.
Yeah. Oh, that actually reminded me. It was something like I was thinking about, like for the final four fire making, like even that, like in itself, like, you know, that's such a big topic. I could go on for days about it. It's just like, if it does happen, it's really something that the players need to consider how to approach it. Like I said, it's a really big topic, especially for me, because like I said, when I did it, I knew it existed because season 35 started that tradition.
Yep.
I've never actually seen it on air, so I didn't know the ramifications of all
of it. Oh, that's right. Yes.
So what I'm saying is, like, what my advice is, like to really think about the ramifications of your end game in general, not even just fire making. If I could have had like another half a day to think about, all right, if I make Wendell go blah, 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 this is going to happen. And now it makes him look good. That's going to give him all that.
I forgot you didn't see 35. So that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why I was even thinking about taking him on. I'm like, should I just go against him? Should I just do that? I don't need to do that, do I? These are just those things that, you know, but there was a real specific reason why I wanted to talk about it for this episode specifically. And I can't remember. Oh, no, I know why. Because the same way I didn't have time to understand the ramifications of it is the same way I feel like the people at Tribal didn't have time to process the ramifications of the coin flip.
Mm.
You understand? Like, does it make sense? Like if Rick didn't put on this big show about it and they're all just sitting there like, should we do this? Should we not do this? It's so hard to make that determination because you almost need things to play out before you can see how it affected everything else, if that makes sense. It's like a trial and error situation, you know? And in other words, I was kind of having that feeling when I was watching that part of the episode. It's like, how could you ask these people to make this decision on like a minute's notice? Like, that's kind of what made it fun to watch, is that like, crap, we're getting off the pot. Like, are you doing this or not? Who's doing it? And let's go. Let's pull the trigger on it. So that's what made it fun, but it would have frustrated the hell out of me. I would have been like, wait, I need time to understand.
Yeah, what? What are
but
the
that's
rules?
Kind of the, and that's kind of the theme of Mr. Beast's games, his show. It's like, you don't have time. He's always like putting you to the test in that moment. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So it's cool to have seen even that aspect in the Survivor episode, that little Mr. Beast spice where you don't have time to reflect on it. And I understand the importance of having the time to reflect on it is all I was trying to get at. I apologize. We went all the way around the block and came back to get to that
point. We made it. We got it. Yeah, I think also depends on the jury and who's on your cast, because some seasons, oh, why didn't you go and make fire yourself? And then other seasons, well, I didn't need to. I think it really just depends of like the messaging that the way the jury is looking at it as well. Right. There's so many factors, like you said, it's not as easy as like, yes, I'll do, you know, I don't think it's that simple.
Right.
But it's anyway, Dom, so great talking to you today. I have to ask you, well, one, are you closing the chapter on Survivor after this 50 nonsense, or are you still, you know, picking up the call if they call you?
Oh yeah, I'll pick up the call. I'm actually back to being a fan and not waiting by the phone though.
Okay.
And again, I'm not saying I waited by the phone because I thought I deserved to be out there. It was almost just a matter of,
we all knew you were getting a call.
It was almost a matter of like, production was like, I hope your bags are packed.
Right.
Specific people I would get hints from. It's not because my ego was like, I'm so great, I deserve to be there. So for like 7 years, I was getting that message. So that's why when it didn't happen, I was like, I got strung along for too long. This is not nice what you did to me. So I was my boycott. Now I'm back to just being a fan, enjoying the season thoroughly, thoroughly. Mm. No longer whatever. And yeah, but the difference is I'm just not waiting by my phone anymore. I'm just, and if there's another opportunity that comes and Jeff doesn't like it, too bad for Jeff.
I was going to say, I feel Sesternino, same thing. Yeah. Is the traitor something you'd be interested in?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you think you'd be in that game?
That's a little different of an animal for sure. Yeah. I like being outside more. I like the fresh air, you know, locked in the house. I've been there before. I know what that's like on the challenge. That was,
oh God, that's
but
right.
I, you know what though? I think the way they pick players on Traders now is just, good. I think they do a good job. And I think that, regardless of your situation, your age or whatever it may be, I feel like there's always some outlet you can go to that's going to allow you to not feel like isolated, if that makes sense. Yeah. Where I felt very isolated on a challenge. I'm like, oh my God, I'm out here with all 22-year-olds. Like, what am I going to do? You know, but I think the way they cast the Traitors is really well done. That being said, there's no phone calls for the Traitors. Nothing like that going right now. I'm just working right now. Just working.
Okay.
That's it. All that's right. Life. But
well, I would like to see it.
Thoroughly,
it'd be fun.
Thoroughly enjoying the season though, and not no longer in boycott mode. Yeah, if any opportunity came up with Survivor, I would definitely entertain it for sure.
Well, Dom, thank you so much for joining me. I hope we see you again. I do. I know maybe this just wasn't your season too, right? Like, I think things work out how they should. So whatever happens, happens, and
whatever.
Yeah,
life's good. Life's good no matter what. You know
exactly. Life's well, good. Again. Thank you for joining me. For the listeners, please like and subscribe. Go check out my exit interview with Stephanie. A lot of comments on that one. and I'll be back next week with more Survivor 50 coverage.